The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Taco Tuesday edition. No Dom. So, there's that. But anyways, he'll be back all 3 hours on Wednesday and forevermore until he takes a vacation in May. But anyways, I just assume he's hammer drunk in a bar somewhere. Had some personal meetings. I just assume hammer drunk. A meeting with a tequila bottle. I got Rich here. He's lightly screening your phone calls. We got some fine guests coming up later in the big show, including John Zarbano, a new guest, a retired attorney. He is running for Congress in CD number 6 as a Democrat. That's currently Glenn Grothman's seat. We'll see if he retains it. But looking forward to meeting John on the air. And our old friend, Matt Flynn, most prominently an author now. Matt joins in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour, so stick around all 3 hours, each and every day. That's all we ask. But I know what a lot of you tuned in for today. What happened in the Trump trial? I got to work, Crudy. You are supposed to watch so I can get some work done. Well, here is the first thing you should know. The day started with the question of whether or not Donald Trump had violated the gag order, like 10 different times. Maybe, but we don't know yet. There has been no ruling from the judge. Not yet. But here is the telling of the story from the Washington Post. Today in the Manhattan Criminal Court, the public and the media got an oral history of Donald Trump's recent social media post with prosecutors reading aloud the former president's disparaging comments about potential witnesses and the jury selection process. We also saw the judge rebuke Trump's lawyers, and we got a window into the messy quid pro quo world of celebrity gossip tabloids. So, a lot of stuff, or at least a fair amount of stuff, happening on an abbreviated trial schedule today. My understanding, they started 9:30 Eastern time with the gag order, and they started, and they have not seen a ruling from the judge on this, but he seemed quite skeptical of the weak arguments being made by Todd Blanche on behalf of defendant Trump. So, anyways, some think this guy should get his ass thrown in jail. I will resist throwing myself in with that camp yet. But anyways, so the first 90 minutes in the courtroom, according to the Washington Post on Tuesday morning, were spent arguing over whether Trump had violated the court-issued gag order, which bars him from attacking witnesses, prosecutors, or family members of the judge and the Manhattan District Attorney. The jury was not present for the hearing. Prosecutors said he violated it 10 times in about a week. That's a lot, 10 times. Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, said the former president is aware of what the gag order prohibits him from saying and that his posts do not violate the order. The defense lawyer continued that Trump's postings about potential witnesses are in response to political attacks against him, an assertion that didn't go over well with the judge. Specifically, I think it was the Jesse Waters, but we'll get to that. Merchant did not immediately rule on the issue, but it appears prosecutors will win this point. Prosecutors said they want the judge to hold Trump in contempt of court and fine him $1,000 per violation. Well, that's chicken scratch for Trump, right? That'd be 10 grand. But they also asked to remind the former president that incarceration is an option if he continues to violate the gag order. Oh, say it ain't so. And the judge, Juan Merchan, said Trump's lawyer is losing all credibility. Well, you know, consider his client. Merchan was frustrated with Blanche's tactics and arguments before the trial started. Today, he grew even more annoyed as Blanche argued that Trump's social media post about potential witnesses and jury selection were protected political speech unrelated to the case. Merchan appeared flabbergasted. You're losing all credibility with the court, he told Trump's attorney Blanche. And throughout the gag order hearing, Blanche seemed to avoid giving direct answers to the judge's questions and did not provide legal precedent to support his claims. I think at one point he said, well, there is no legal precedent. It's just common sense. The judge had sought legal precedent. Now, when the judge warned Blanche they needed to conclude the hearing soon, the lawyer pushed back and said, prosecutors got all the time they needed. The people, Merchan replied, were answering my questions. And the prosecutors revealed more about their unusual strategy. The prosecutors are employing an unusual legal strategy in this case. They revealed the second crime because the coconut of the books, the 34 felonies that Trump is charged with, are only felonies in New York State if there is another crime. Here's the interesting part. The other crime? A misdemeanor. They're alleging that Trump committed a misdemeanor, which creates a domino effect of cascading 34 felonies. So this one's going to stick in the craw of the Jonathan Turleys and in all the Fox News legal contributors. Anyways, the prosecution, they're attempting to tie the alleged doctoring of financial records to the more salacious election-related conspiracy, for which Trump is not facing charges. Under state law, charging Trump with simply falsifying business records would be a misdemeanor. But alleging that the falsification was done to conceal or further another crime makes it a felony. And as we've mentioned, Trump faces 34 felonies in this case. In the Trump case, prosecutors have often been vague about what exactly is the underlying crime. And that was allegedly being concealed or furthered in the hush money case. But today, prosecutor Joshua Steinglass said the statute in question, and here's the $64,000 question. What is the underlying crime that makes all the other charges into felonies? He claims it's New York State Election Law 17-152. And if you don't have your New York election legal doctrine in front of you in the bookshelf, that is a conspiracy to promote or prevent an election. That law makes it a misdemeanor when two or more people conspire to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means. That seems a low bar. And he probably crossed it. So that is the multiplier effect, the state charge that turns all the other charges into felonies. That's going to sting. Now, the National Enquirer went to great lengths to help Trump get elected. Yes, they did. And for those that are unclear, the catch and kill, not only were they out there stopping any bad press of Donald Trump, but the unfortunately named David Pecker and his crew over at AMI, over at the National Enquirer, they were also trashing Trump's opponents, guys like Ted Cruz. I saw this morning being reported, they discussed it, at least at part, the fact that the National Enquirer ran with the story alleging that Ted Cruz was cheating on his wife. Now, Ted never sued for defamation, so maybe there's some smoke there, I'm just saying. But that was part of the plan as well. So this first happened, this first meeting, and they had known each other, Pecker and Donald Trump, for some number of years. It was sort of a symbiotic relationship. Trump fed back to Pecker this great gossip from the Celebrity Apprentice. And Packer, apparently, they researched and they figured out the American people, at least the National Enquirer, reading American public, they loved them some Donald Trump. They wanted more, more, more. So Packer spent hours testifying today about his long friendship with the former president and how his company acted as the eyes and ears for the 2016 Trump campaign, sniffing out potentially scandalous stories about the presidential election. In turn, Trump stories translated to big sales figures for the tabloid. Oh, yeah, it was a symbiotic relationship. The government alleges Packer and the National Enquirer repeatedly paid subjects who claimed they had scandalous information about Trump for the rights to their stories and then never published anything, a tactic known as catch and kill. And that tactic was apparently employed to prevent Stormy Daniels' alleged tryst with Trump from getting out. The government hopes Packer's testimony helps illustrate that Trump was concerned about how the articles about his alleged relationship with Daniels would land with female voters. Well, there is also the other porn star. Well, Playboy playmate, Karen McDougal. And actually, the tape that Michael Cohen made, I'm sure you've probably heard it on MSNBC or somewhere. Well, it's being played again. And it's about paying off David Packer for the catch and kill of the Playmate story, the Karen McDougal story. So while this is promised to be about the hush money paid off to Stormy Daniels, there's at least three different payoffs that were paid by Trump trying to keep different stories out of the paper. And the government had not finished its questioning of Packer when the court concluded today. But Packer did testify about how Trump personally got on the phone with him to discuss whether to pay off a Playboy model, that's the Karen McDougal, who in 2016 was shopping around a story of having a year-long affair with the presidential candidate. It's my understanding she doesn't want the story to be published, Packer told Trump. I think this story should be purchased, and I believe you should buy it, Packer testified that Trump said he didn't like the idea and that his then-attorney Michael Cohen would get back to him. We'll get back to you. Trump, I think this thing is making him suffer. I think he is suffering through this trial. His demeanor has changed. Even the statements, he comes out of court and he's gotta go chase the camera down. He's gotta say something. I can't go campaigning. He comes off as a complete and utter loser. And, you know, that kind of puts a smile on my face because, you know, I'm that sort of guy. Folks, we're the devil's advocates. You could be that sort of guy or girl. You can participate. We'll also bring you some of the Trump sound post-trial, post-gag order hearing today. More devil's advocates on the other side. Your calls as well, 844-96-PARTY.
The devil's advocates. Sausage making every book.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back from the 420 break. A fine guest, a candidate for the U.S. Congress coming soon. He is John Sarbano. He will join us at 4:30 today. He is a retired attorney. He's running in CD6. That's the current Glenn Grothman district. And nobody ran the last time, so I'm looking forward to meeting John on the air. Also in the Happier Happy Hour, author, direct talker, our buddy Matt Flynn joining the show. Matt Flynn joining at 5:05, so please make a note of it. Stick around for that if you will. And plenty of coverage of the Trump trial, including what he had to say, the whining, the victimhood. It's a daily event. We'll try to bring you this coverage each and every day because the more he whines, the better I feel. Really, quite frankly, that is true. I am taking glee in his pain, just so you know. I am that guy. So, Rich, need your help. You can be that guy and help me. Let's play some sound of Trump after coming out of the court, the Packer testimony, and the gag hearing today. Consider the context. Play it for us. Trump, it's a sham.
The gag order is totally unconstitutional. Can't even allow articles to be put in. As an example, these are articles that were over the last day and a half. They're very good articles. They say the case is a sham and it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted. And I don't even know if you're allowed to put them in. We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me, they can say whatever they want, they can lie, but I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind, but I'm restricted because I have a gag order. And I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen anything like this before.
Well, many other criminal defendants have seen something similar to this before, defend on Trump. And the fact that you continue to break the gag order, you know, probably brings more attention to your gag order, but that's your goal, right? I had seen it opined out there in the world today that maybe his goading of the judge, Juan Merchan, is an effort to distract from the very compelling testimony of David Pecker, who's kind of burying him right from the get-go. You know, this guy should perhaps consider, what do they call it, pleading guilty. I mean, I know you're like, Trump's never going to plead guilty. This trial will kill Trump. I mean, just the sitting in court for 6 weeks, having to sit there and not talk. And he can go run into the cameras, but then he just comes off as weak. Everything about Trump, I never knew it would have this effect, that Trump would just sort of wilt and become weak and then have to go running during the court breaks. Let's play more of court break from earlier today. This will be the only sound. Well, let me restate that. Court will resume on Thursday. No court on Wednesday. Here's what Trump says. It's all Biden's fault.
I don't believe it's never, not to this extent, ever happened before. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and yet other people are allowed to say whatever they want about me. Very, very unfair. Having to do with the schools and the closings, that's Biden's fault. And by the way, this trial is all Biden. You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom, that's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom.
Get a shawl.
Well, he's out campaigning. That's probably an advantage because he can't campaign. Nobody knows what he's doing. You can't put two sentences together.
Unlike Donald Trump, who can always string at least two incoherent sentences together, we've got more of Trump while there's time. Rich, hate to, you know, short our audience the full dose of broccoli. Two more. Let's play number three. Biden's out campaigning.
He's out campaigning. He's out campaigning, and I'm here in a courtroom sitting here sitting up as straight as I can all day long, because you know what? It's a very unfair situation. So we're locked up in a courtroom, and this guy's out there campaigning, if you call it a campaign. Every time he opens his mouth, he gets himself into trouble.
I think you're projecting, Trump. I think every time you open your mouth, and yesterday during his court break talking to the cameras, he made a confession. I told you about this yesterday, folks. He basically went out there and said, you know, I never even took a tax deduction for the legal fees that I paid to Michael Cohen. Well, that's not exculpatory. That's basically you admitting you were trying to bury the evidence of the fact that you knew you were doing something wrong. One more from Trump. We got one more, right? Play it for the people. The unconstitutional gag order. This might be a little rambling, just a warning.
So that's the story. I have an unconstitutional gag order by a highly conflicted judge that should recuse himself. Very simple. On the schools, should have never happened. What's going on in this country now should have never happened. But of course, the Ukraine war would have never happened. The Israeli attack would have never happened. Inflation would have never happened. We have the worst president in the history of our country, and he's the one that has us in all these different lawsuits. Thank you very much.
The solar eclipse would have never happened. But you lost, Trump. Again, that makes you a loser. You'll be a two-time loser in 2024, I suspect. But, you know, we're not there yet. Our friend Jeff texted me. I think the technical definition of what Trump is, according to Jeff, is a whiny little bitch. Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I think he is. a whiny little bitch. I throw that term around loosely sometimes, but I think it's merited. I think he earned it. Don't be a whiny bitch. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. A fine guest joining me next. He is John Zarbano, attorney at law, retired, running in CD number 6, running for Congress. This is a step in the right direction. Each and every congressional seat in the state of Wisconsin should be challenged. Now, I'm feeling pretty good about Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore, but every other seat is currently held by a Republican. That means 6 seats. We got to pick up at least 2. I'm looking at you, 3rd CD. I'm looking at you in the 8th, and I'm looking at John Zarbano to, you know, represent in CD number 6. It's a good start. We've got a candidate. That's better than we could say in 2022. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Taco Tuesday edition. A happy hour, and it's getting better. We've been joined by a fine guest live via stream. He is John Zarbano. He is a retired attorney, and he is a newly announced candidate in CD6 that's currently held by Glenn Grothman. John, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, let's talk about your prior vocation. You're a retired attorney. What sort of law did you practice, John?
For a large part of my career, I was a bank lawyer. So I was a general counsel for a small $250 million asset bank and was commercial loans, land development, real estate, mortgage lending, also employment law and compliance with the Office of Comptroller of the Currency.
John, predicated on your prior role, you must have some opinion. I know I'm digressing for a minute, but some opinion on the fraud allegations and the civil finding of fraud against the Trump Organization. Had you ever had a borrower seek to inflate their assets for the bank's sake and then turn around and tell, you know, the taxing authority they were worth substantially less, John? I've had businessmen say, come on, everybody does that. I don't recall doing that, John, but have you seen that?
I've seen attempts at it, yes. Usually we have our own independent appraisers, and we usually send those folks packing. We don't deal with them.
I understand. If they're
going to lie, they're not going to pay the loan back.
John Zarbano, he is running in CD number 6. The current congressman from CD 6 is Glenn Grothman. And for those that are unaware, I believe Glenn was the Trumpiest congressperson in the Congress when Trump last served, most supportive of all the Trump policies that came down the pike. John, why now? Why did you think run against Glenn?
Well, as long as he was, as long as Glenn Grothman was just ignorant, we could stand to do that because the 6th CD, there has not been a Democrat elected in the past 60 years. It's very ruby red. But last time, no one ran against him. And then we had January 6th, and then we had Russia invade Ukraine, and he voted against suspending normal trade relations with Russia in March of 2022, and along with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, do I need to go on?
No, they're a hell of a crew, and guilt by association. I'm sometimes branded because of my friendship with Dominic. John, let me ask you, though. How red is it, and what are the chances? What do you think your outlook looks like, and how important is it just simply to represent on the ballot as a Democrat?
First off, I wouldn't waste my time if I didn't think that I would win. I know that our side will win this time because we have the right message. We have women's issue. We have immigration. We have the farm issue. The one thing about Glenn Grothman, he has totally ignored the rural communities of the 6CD. All he does is go to county fairs and eat. So they have, with the bipartisan infrastructure bill, we can get, it's already been passed, the money's already there, we just have to spend it to get rural communities the education, the broadband, the medical care, health care, all of the things that we need to have done for our rural communities.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a candidate for CD number 6, a Democrat, John Zarbano. And John, I think in radio signals. So for our listeners on WISS 1100 AM and for our listeners on 1320 WFHR AM, you're probably living in CD number 6. Now, I spend a lot of my weekends in Washura County. And John, between now and Election Day, I might move up there full time. So tell me, why would I vote for you as my congressman?
Because Washara County needs a lot of representation. I've been to Washara. I call it the preaching to the choir tour. I've visited all 11 counties that comprise the 6CD, and the folks in Wild Rose were very gracious and very supportive. But we need to have in Washara County more health care, and that's why you should vote for me.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but last time I was in Wild Rose, I believe I stopped at the BP gas station, and it's like a armament store. It's full of guns. Maybe I'm mistaking my small rural parts of Wisconsin, but I'm pretty sure. John, how do you fit in with the part of the state that's very Second Amendment friendly, let's just say, those that love their guns? And this has obviously been a red issue, but John, is it an issue you can speak to the populace on?
Definitely. First off, I'm a responsible gun owner. I have used to hunt. I don't do that anymore, but I used to go bird hunting. There's a difference between the Second Amendment and gun violence. We can address gun violence without trampling upon any Second Amendment right. And we can do that with the background checks. That there's two bills pending in Congress right now. One is the red flag law, and the other is background checks to close the loophole for the gun shows. Those two bills will not affect the Second Amendment rights of any Wisconsinite.
John Zarbano, congressional candidate, Democrat. John, Joe Biden's been to the state of Wisconsin quite a bit. Hillary Clinton came less so after she won the nomination. But Biden's been here, and Kamala Harris was just in La Crosse yesterday. Realize that's the third CD, but they're going to be coming. Would you go on the stage if invited by the president? Would you campaign with Joe Biden? Does that make sense predicated on the campaign you hope to run, John?
Yes. Yes, I would, because the economy is going gangbusters. Inflation's coming down. Like I said, the infrastructure bill, the money's already there. We've got to implement it. And yes, I would step on the stage with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and talk about women's reproductive freedom and the immigration issue. I would talk with them about those two issues. Those are our winning issues.
And John, what do you think the winning platform on immigration is? I mean, Fox News and right-wing talk radio, and there's a lot of it in the 6CD. They always claim it's open borders and Biden wants all these immigrants here because he's making future voters. So how do you combat that misinformation, John?
Well, first off, the Republicans should just shut up about immigration and the mess at the southern border. They had their chance. They had the bill they wanted, but Trump said no, and Grothman just fell in line. And they had the bill which terminated catch and release. They had the bill which authorized closure of the border. They had the bill that said hiring more agents, but Trump said no, and so that the work that Sinema and Langford and Murphy did went for naught. So Grothman can just shut up about this mess at the southern border. He's got no right to talk.
John Zarbano, congressman, or at least he'd like to be. He's a congressional candidate, a Democrat in CD number 6. John, apparently Glenn Grothman, a confirmed bachelor, allegedly living in mom's basement in Glenbula. Sir, what sort of a family resume do you bring to your candidacy?
Oh, okay. I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, and we have Nicholas, our youngest, lives in Oklahoma with his wife Beth and our two grandchildren, whose favorite place on the planet is Wisconsin Dells. They can't wait to get out of school in June to come up to Wisconsin Dells.
John Zarbano, dog guy or a cat guy? Do you have pets?
Yes, we have a dog and a cat.
Well, that's very confusing. Dogs and cats live together, John. I don't think it's supposed to be like that.
I know, but it's exciting around here at dinner time. It's the Hunger Games. This time it's personal.
John, how do you get along with your more conservative neighbors, your MAGA voting neighbors? Do you envision an opportunity perhaps to get them to split the ticket and vote for you?
I think so. I think that, and the reason I say that is because even though Nikki Haley suspended her campaign in March, I mean, before early voting started, she still captured in Wisconsin 12.8% of the vote. In the 6CD, there were 12,000 votes for her. And so there are a lot of disenfranchised Republicans and independents, and I know I will give them a choice come November.
John, you walk into the R Bar in Plainfield in CD number 6 on a Friday night. What are you ordering, sir?
Fish and chips.
What beverage? What beverage, John?
Oh, well, you got to have, when you have a fish fry, you got to have a beer. And what's on tap? I'll just leave it to the bartender.
Well, be careful when you leave it to the bartender, but I would suspect they got spotted cow on tap. My buddy Dom's not here, but he would certainly ask if he was, John, what's your attitude about legalizing recreational marijuana, taxing it, regulating it, like, you know, many other things are. John, what's your attitude on marijuana policy?
Okay, first thing we have to do is get marijuana off Schedule 1. Right now, since it's listed as a Schedule 1 drug, there's no research being, it's limited research is being done on the effects of it. My wife is from Marinette, and when we go up there and visit friends and family, we can see the folks driving across the bridge to go to Michigan. So we're losing a lot of tax dollars to Michigan. So I would first first thing I do is get it off Schedule One.
Can I put you down for legalized recreational marijuana, John?
Yes, you can. But first things first, we got to get it. We have to get the feds to go along with the states.
Well, you got to be careful. This state's still pretty regressive and prohibitive, if you know what I'm saying, John. John,
I know.
Zarbano, a congressional candidate. John, if people want to support your campaign, how can they give a few dollars or get involved?
All right, just go to my website. It's www.johnzarbano.com. That's www.johnzarbano.com. And click the donate button and go from there.
And John, do you have a primary opponent at this time?
Amy Washburn has also declared. She's from Sheboygan.
Well, two is a lot better than the zero we had in the last time.
That's
John,
correct.
We wish you well. We'll have you back on. John Zarbano, candidate in CD number 6. John, thank you so much for joining the Devil's Advocates today.
Thank you so much.
Come back for Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition. I'm eating tacos for dinner, I'm telling you. Thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one. I liked him. Even some of you, I got text in real time. I warmed up to him, Jeff said. John Zarbano, he's a retired attorney. He is running in CD number 6. That's Washura County. He is from Oshkosh, but he could be my congressman, technically. If I move up there full time, I'm considering it. Our pal, author, direct talker, Matt Flynn, joining at 5:05. So stick around for Matt, and you can be part of the action right now. 844-967-2789. I got some sad news to report. Very sad. George Santos. You remember that guy? The guy that perhaps rivals Donald Trump as the biggest liar ever? Well, apparently Santos is ending his congressional bid for New York's 1st District. You didn't know he was running? Oh, yeah, he was running. Former New York Rep. George Santos, who was expelled from the House and is facing federal charges, said he's withdrawing his bid from Congress in New York's 1st District. Here's his quote. I have decided to withdraw from my independent run for hashtag New York One. I don't want my run to be portrayed as a reprisal against Nick LaLota. Nick LaLota is the current congressperson, won the special election there. Although Nick and I don't have the same voting record, and I remain critical of his abysmal record. I love, you know, how he kind of piles on. I don't want to split the ticket and be responsible for handing the House to the Dems, Santos posted on the Twitter. And Santos previously announced he was leaving the Republican Party and would run his congressional comeback bid as an independent. Because discerning independents, that's exactly what you're looking for, right? More George DeSantos. George Santos. I have met with leaders and with constituents, and I have made the decision to hang it up here and stop pursuing this race this year! Exclamation point. The future holds countless possibilities, and I'm ready and willing and able to step up to the plate and go fight for my country at any time! Now, Santos has pled not guilty to 23 federal charges, very Trump-like in that regard, including allegations of fraud related to COVID-19 unemployment benefits, misusing campaign funds, and lying about his personal finances on House disclosure reports. He didn't know he couldn't do that? Here is one more quote from Santos. I will continue to participate in the public policy discussion and will do my part. I will always strive to stand on the right side of history. Oh, it's hard for me to read this. It's only goodbye for now. I'll be back. famous last words, I'll be back. So George Santos dropping out of the race. I know it's going to be crushing for so many of you that have been donating to his independent campaign for Congress. You know, you better cancel because he'll keep taking your money. Now, I suspect it might be his success on Cameo. Guy's making like $300 a recording. That pays way better than his congressional, former congressional seat used to. You know, the one he was expelled from. A little bit more from the Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene faces an uphill battle to oust Johnson. That's Speaker Johnson. Now, Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene is escalating her threat to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from power, but she faces a steep climb if she hopes to achieve that goal. Not only has the Speaker recently received a glowing review from former President Trump, has he? I mean, he kind of gives and takes those endorsements, if you know what I'm saying. The GOP presumed presidential nominee. Presumed, well, he'll be the nominee, but be careful what you wish for. I read on, but Democrats remain ready to recuse Johnson from, rescue Johnson from a conservative coup. On top of that, many of the conservatives most frustrated with Johnson's leadership style are opposing a motion to vacate, leaving Marjorie Taylor Greene with only the barest GOP support for her removal resolution. Here is what Bob Good said. My judgment and estimation is there is not the time to do that, said Rep. Bob Good, head of the far-right Freedom Caucus. Not that Johnson is out of the woods. The speaker has infuriated conservatives such as Green and Good for months by reaching across the aisle to cut a number of deals with President Biden on big-ticket issues, including federal spending, government spying, and most recently, billions of dollars in new military aid to Ukraine, funding opposed by most of his GOP conference. It was precisely those type of bipartisan agreements that led directly to the downfall of Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who was ousted by frustrated hardliners in October. And Green over the weekend called on Johnson to resign, or she's vowing to boot him from power. She said in an interview with the Foxy News' Sunday Morning Futures, Mock Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated. Oh, will he? Yet Green's position is a lonely one in the House GOP. While her vacate resolution won the support last week of two other Republicans, Rep. Thomas Massey and Paul Gosar, the prevailing sentiment amongst conservatives is that Johnson should remain in place despite their frustrations with his deal-making. Those voices inside the Freedom Caucus, leaders such as Good, who supported McCarthy's removal, but are quick to point out that for Republicans, the political environment has changed in the last 6 months since then. Oh, has it changed? Not only has the GOP's House majority shrunk, the result of an expulsion of George Santos and the resignation of five other Republicans, but there's no obvious successor to Johnson. So what? That doesn't mean you should vacate the speaker. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. A good friend, Matt Flynn. He'll be direct, I feel quite confident.